Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Euphoric, hemp oil-infused chewing gum. Want to see what all the fuss is about with Euphoric? Right now, our listeners can get free shipping with their order when you visit chewenjoy.com. That's chewenjoy.com. Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, how would you handle it if a ghost doll came to life, but it was turned off? What about if it had no batteries in it? The concept of a ghost doll coming to life is a scary one and a very real memory for one of our listeners on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you want to support the program, keep this thing on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call it. Get all the bonus episodes of the show, brand new ones every single week. Advanced episodes, commercial free, and more. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all that, and you're also then in the loop of supporting the show. You get advanced access, like I said, to all those things and other things throughout the year. When we do a live show somewhere, you get a chance to get tickets before everybody else and a whole bunch of other exclusive things too, on top of the bonus weekly content that's exclusively for you there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm packing.
Yeah.
Packing lots of stuff left and right. Just when you think you have a room done, you go, oh, I got to pack that too.
I know.
But it's fun. I love packing. There's nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep telling yourself that.
Yeah.
And eventually it becomes true. And you're like, when I'm done with this, I want to go help other people pack their stuff.
I think it's one of those things you can't, you know, fake it till you make it. I don't think
Not one of those things?
No.
Did you ever have a doll? I know you're not like a real big doll person.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have a doll story on the show today. But what was it for you that made you not a doll person? Was there an event? Was there a thing what was it for you?
I had a couple of porcelain dolls because I thought they were really pretty, but I didn't really play with them. They were more like decorative.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some little girls are baby doll girls and some little girls are not. And I just happened to fall into the I don't care to play with baby dolls.
There wasn't like a, oh my God, this freaked me out, I don't like dolls incident. It was just,
no.
Just, you don't like them.
No. Okay. No. I just never really played that. I was such a tomboy when I was little. I was outside with a slingshot. I wasn't playing baby dolls.
Did you have, when people would do the stereotypical thing of like, oh, let's go look at the dolls, or, you know, that sort of a thing?
Barbies. I was all about Barbies.
Sure.
But Barbies weren't babies.
No, but like the baby dolls. Mm-hmm. Did you ever, as a child, did you have did you feel creepy about them at all? Did you, like, as an adult, you can look at a lot of dolls and go, that's kind of creepy. But did you have that feeling back then too?
No.
No? Okay. I guess boys, I did. I've always had a creepy feeling about dolls. Not just because I was a boy and I didn't like playing with those type of dolls, but I don't know. They've always, I don't know.
No, I mean, I could appreciate them, but I didn't get creeped out by them. That had nothing to do with why I didn't want to play with them.
Okay. I just wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're like, well, this one time they, you know, it spoke to me in the middle of the night and.
No, nothing and, like that.
And then I have to share with you, that's not normal. That doesn't happen. That, you know.
No.
Dolls aren't supposed to do that. That's not what happens with everybody's, but no.
No, okay. Nothing like that.
Well, I think you may be interested in this story.
Yeah.
Because it's, they had quite an incident. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to the first one. It says, hello, everyone. I have a couple more stories to share. My first story took place when I was around 4 or 5 years old. I and my aunt, who is 3 years older than me, and we're playing with my in my grandma's apartment. And my aunt had this toy doll that she got for Christmas from my mom, and it could walk and talk when you turned it on. Doll really gave me and my aunt the creeps because it just started walking and talking. And when my aunt went and checked it, the switch was turned off. So she decided that the switch must be broken. And we went to get a screwdriver out of the tool drawer to take the batteries out. Well, she took the batteries out and continued playing when the doll started walking and talking again. She then accused me of messing with her and putting the batteries back in when she wasn't looking, and I swore up and down that I didn't put them back in. So she checked, and sure enough, there were no batteries in the doll. We began to cry and freak out because it scared us, so we locked it in the closet. And I should specify that the feet on this doll were not very big, so there's no way that it could have landed on its feet if it were thrown. But the doll started knocking on the door, standing upright. When my grandma came to find out why we were crying, the doll completely stopped moving, and she stated that we just had too wild of imaginations, and then walked off. We left it in the closet for the rest of the night, and the next day before my grandma woke up, my aunt grabbed it and threw it in the garbage and buried it in the trash can. After that, I've had a fear of dolls ever since. My second story was when I was around 16. Me and my friends went to a chapel graveyard, which was rumored to be haunted because the chapel that used to be there had a priest that went insane, supposedly, or was possessed and locked everyone inside, and the chapel burned down, and then he hung himself on a nearby tree in the graveyard. That's where the legend goes. We brought 4 different voice recorders and 1 camcorder and started walking around asking typical random questions that everyone always asks. Got a few orbs on the camcorder, but we pretty much debunked those because there were lights down the hill a little way. Then we decided to sit in the 2 cars just outside the gates of the graveyard and listen to the voice recorders. We could hear us asking questions, but never got a reply. Then, just when we were about to leave, we all saw an apparition lift its hands above the hood of our cars and slam their hands down. At the same time, the sound went through the speakers saying, "Get out," really loud. Both cars started up. We raced down the road and pulled into the nearby gas station. We were all freaking out and confirmed that we all saw and heard the same thing. I checked the voice recorder the next day to see if it was saved on it, and when I got to the part that scared us, there was no sound and no voice. I haven't gone back to this chapel since. My friends have, and they haven't had anything happen to them again, but I'd rather not take the risk. Thanks for reading my stories. Hope to hear them on the show. I'll write in with more paranormal things that have happened to me. Keep up the good work on the show.
I was thinking about the question you asked before you read the story, and I will say the dolls that are supposed to, like, walk, talk, eat, poop, pee, I always thought those were weird.
Okay.
I didn't like that, but just like regular dolls, no.
Just the plain porcelain dolls, no.
No, and you would think that a porcelain doll would be the creepiest of all dolls.
To me, it's the porcelain ones that are the creepiest. They feel like the ones that do the actions, those look a little more friendly, I guess, the more modern ones, but the old school porcelain ones, I don't know, there's something about them that just... I don't know why it is. It's just because, I mean, they're not like menacing looking. They're just, I don't know.
Maybe it's because they look old. So you think they're old, even if they don't aren't really that old.
Maybe it's the same principle, maybe of like a haunted house. You know, mm-hmm. you look at a building and it's old, and you can tell the architecture is old. I mean, it can be just built last week, but if it's older style architecture, you can make anything look old and creepy. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is it. I know Harper had that one doll. It wasn't really creepy. It just was weird. The baby shits a lot, as she called it.
She killed it.
She killed it.
Yeah, remember she stuck something in it and it wouldn't poop anymore.
Oh yeah, it was like this Play-Doh-y substance that was mm-hmm. you put into it, and then it would supposedly poop, but like it's the motor didn't work very well, and it really
no. And she got mad because she saved up a lot of allowance to get it,
mm-hmm.
and then it didn't even crap out. So
it didn't even crap out.
No,
it crapped out,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't crap out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now whenever we go to the store, she's like, "Look, this baby shits a lot. Those suck."
Yeah, that's what she says.
There's other moms and kids like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it sucks. Yeah, I never understood the concept of having a doll, especially the ones that literally, I remember when we were kids, and I don't know if they still do it today, but I remember seeing like on Saturday morning cartoons where they'd run all the toy ads, there would be, was it like, Polly Potty or something. Polly Pocket, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But there was one where like it peed mm-hmm. and like liquid came out of the doll.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would, as a parent, that's just like a nightmare. It's like, I don't want water going everywhere with this doll.
Well, it's supposed to have diapers on it.
Okay. Well, it's supposed to, but it's being controlled by someone who just recently got out of diapers. So.
Right.
It's like, this is not a great mix.
Uh-uh.
And you can fill it with ink and, you know.
Oh, God. Put Kool-Aid in there and then it's a permanent stain no matter what.
Like then they really teach the child the lesson. It's mm-hmm. like, see, this is what happens. And they'll never have children. And it's all goes back to the scarring experiences of Polly Potty uh-huh. and mom putting a mixture of Bic Pen ink and Kool-Aid in it to teach a lesson.
Like the doll had something wrong with it.
Back to the ghost stories in just a few moments. First, I want to thank a supporter of our show today, Euphoric, which is hemp oil infused chewing gum. I love this stuff, guys. Check it out for yourself. Euphoric hemp oil infused chewing gum. It's not your average gum. In fact, it's an innovative, patented delivery system. It combines the powerful chewing benefits with the heavily researched benefits of full spectrum hemp oil, which is rich in naturally occurring phytocannabinoids, including CBD. Full spectrum hemp oil in Euphoric is even better than CBD. And that it offers many naturally occurring phytocannabinoids, including CBD, that work together synergistically. It's the best of both worlds. It's like Captain and Tennille, if you will. Okay, maybe that's a bad example, but it's called the entourage effect. Essentially, it means that a team of phytocannabinoids work together than any one isolated. But how does it taste, you ask? It's good. Long-lasting mint flavor consistently make it possible to chew it longer, which increases absorption in the mouth, which is pretty nice. In fact, I've had some where it's like, this stuff doesn't seem to be losing flavor. Not many gums, you know, you can say that about. In fact, Euphoric hemp oil infused chewing gum has the best absorption rate on the market, 84%. That's 50% greater than other products that have to be digested. Euphoric gum, however, keeps the hemp oil in the mouth longer while it's absorbed without ever passing through the digestive system. So it gets to you in a more effective way. It's great stuff. It's certified vegan, legal in all 50 states. You don't get high from it. It's a patented delivery method, gluten-free, sugar-free, non-GMO. Full spectrum hemp oil for maximum availability of all naturally occurring phytocannabinoids in hemp. So it's good stuff. I highly recommend it. I say at least give it a chance. You are probably going to make this part of your regular routine. Want to see what all the Euphoric fuss is about? Right now, our listeners get free shipping with their order when you visit chewenjoy.com. That's chewenjoy.com. This is a special podcast exclusive. And when you support our sponsors, you support our show. Just go to chewenjoy.com to get free shipping plus an additional bonus discount on select offers. That's chewenjoy.com. 855-853-4802. is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story says, my story, I'm currently a nurse practitioner and on my second marriage, but my story began shortly after marrying my first love. We were young and initially lived with my parents, who were great as my mom and could help out with a new baby boy. But when our son was 6 months old, we were very excited to move into a rental property my husband's parents owned. It was a two-story, two-bedroom colonial with a closed-in porch. His parents owned three rental properties that were all in a row in a very rural area surrounded by woods. The closest house is about 100 yards away, and at that time I was only 21 and a stay-at-home mom while my new husband worked hard as a welder at a local trucking company. He worked from 7 a.m. to sometimes 7 p.m. and usually Saturdays as well. This meant I was home most of the time alone with my baby, but I didn't mind. It was about a month into our living into our new home and things began to happen. At that time, I really had zero knowledge of anything paranormal and never really watched anything scary because I didn't enjoy being scared, so I was kind of oblivious. It was the 90s and way before those reality ghost hunting shows. The first thing that began happening was I would hear a male voice saying my name all the time. For example, I'd be doing dishes and a voice that sounded like my husband's would come directly through the window above the sink where I was standing. It would say my name in a way my husband would, in a flirtatious manner, if that makes sense. It scared me because it was pitch blackout, and I wasn't expecting it. At first, I assumed it was him, even though the window was about 8 feet off the ground. The kitchen was in the back of the house and where we entered and exited the home, but the front door entered the porch in the front of the house, so I assumed my husband went outside to use that door. I'd go and yell at him for scaring me, but when I looked around for him, he was in our family room, lying on the couch watching television with the baby in his arms. When I asked him about him calling me, he played dumb. This would happen when I was on the toilet, in my bedroom, doing my laundry and so on, even when my husband wasn't home. Then during the day while my husband was at work and my baby and I would be downstairs, a loud boom-like sound of someone jumping off a bed hard into the floor would come through the ceiling. I could feel the actual vibration. I initially thought maybe our TV had fallen, so I ran to check and nothing. This started happening at least once a week. My husband dismissed it as my imagination or say the house was settling because he'd never heard it. This event was a real head-scratcher. My son had just turned 1 year old and was just getting his walking thing down. He was still slow-going, but he was a very fast crawler. I just finished up my cleaning for the day, fed the baby, and put him down for a nap in our family room. This was in front of the house. I had him lying on a nap mat under a blanket. I went to take a shower in our downstairs bathroom, which was in the back of the house, quite a bit away from the family room. And as I'm showering and just finishing up, I heard my son banging on the bathroom door. It came from the bottom of the bathroom door, as if he'd walked or crawled to the door and was banging on the door with his little hands. I assumed he'd heard the shower and went looking for me and said, "Hold on, baby, Mama's coming." The banging continued as I turned off the water, hopped out and grabbed a towel. I grabbed the handle of the door, opened it, and proceeded to say, "Hi, baby." But when I opened it, nothing. I was so confused because 5 seconds prior, he was knocking. And was knocking as I was wrapping my towel around me. Trying to rationalize, I thought, okay, maybe it had been longer than I thought, and maybe he raced into the family room crawling. So I began walking to the family room, speaking out loud, calling his name, and doing the mommy-baby talking thing. When I get to the room, my baby was sound asleep under the blanket where I left him. What the hell? I was so confused. This kind of stuff continued. I thought I was going crazy. One of the absolute weirdest things that happened was when all three of us were home, my husband, myself, and my baby. It had stormed and the electricity had gone out, so we were left with not much to do. It was late afternoon, so there was some light coming in, but not much. My husband was on the couch in the family room with the baby who had just fallen asleep. I was reading a book in our living room. It was quiet in the house. I thought I heard whispering and thought my husband was whispering to me as to not wake the baby, but when I looked, they were both asleep. So I went back to reading. I heard it again, only this time I can hear two voices whispering. I look up because it sounds like it's coming from the vent. Crazy, I know. I think I'm nuts, but I know what I heard. I gently wake my husband to tell him what I'm hearing, knowing he's going to blow me off when he gently gets up and says, "I've heard the same thing." He says he sporadically has been hearing it, but thought he was nuts. He immediately did a search high and low everywhere through the house, attic, closet, everywhere, and nothing. He didn't even have an explanation, so we blew it off. As until one night he was doing some work late at night in our kitchen. My son and I were in bed when at around 1 a.m., my husband bound through the bedroom door, out of breath and yelling my name. I wake with a start and say, "What?" He says, "Are you just downstairs?" I said, no. See, I'm sleeping. Why? He said he was working when he looked up and sees a black shadow for 1 second, then sees the shadow dart across the room and up the stairs with lightning speed. He ran up after it. That had been the straw that broke the camel's back. About 2 months later, we moved out. We've since divorced and are both remarried. Looking back and after watching a few ghost hunting shows, I believe that house was haunted, and I'm thankful that I was a bit naive at the time. Or I would have been even more terrified.
Do you think doppelgangers can be other forms of ghosts? Like, you know, sometimes it's just the voice you hear. Sometimes it looks exactly like somebody you know and acts like somebody you know, but it's not them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think these voices that were coming through as everybody else belong to that shadow person?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a doppelganger at that point, though.
That's where it's hard to know. It's hard to define what's what.
I think when it's something emulating another voice or other thing, it's that. It's something that's doing an emulation thing. A doppelganger, to me, is almost its own little category.
Uh-huh.
Where it's, you know, and half the time the doppelgangers don't really do much. They're not, like, necessarily screwing with you. It's like you happen to, like, catch them in passing almost. And sometimes they're just as surprised to see you as you are of them. Or they're just ambivalent to it, almost as if they don't see you. So I don't know if this is a doppelganger type story or more so just a something is emulating someone else's voice and things of that nature to startle or to get the attention.
Okay.
Are you saying doppelganger because of the voice
mm-hmm.
thing? Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of, have we had doppelganger stories where they speak? I think we have.
Yeah, we have. Okay. But my thought was also, what is a doppelganger when it's not what it is
mm-hmm.
trying to be, you know?
Sure.
So like when you see a doppelganger and it's that person you know,
mm-hmm.
what is that the rest of the time?
I don't know. I almost wonder if doppelgangers sometimes are like time slips.
Mm.
Or, I mean, time slips, which, you know, could be that or some alternate reality of some sort. I don't know. Obviously I have no answer, but it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a thousand possibilities as to what the hell is actually going on there. Speaking of weird voices in the middle of the night, we heard a voice the other night. That was fun.
We did.
At random. I mentioned this on the other day with Carol, but since we're both here, it'd be good to get your account of you know, what happened.
I know I heard something, but I can't tell you for sure what it was, because when I'm out, mm-hmm. I am out.
Yeah. And you were out like that.
Yeah.
Every night on our, because we'd been walking, literally. Carol asked me, she's like, how many miles did you like look at your tracker? I'm like, yeah, about 10 to 20 a day, miles.
Yeah. That's what it seemed like, at least.
It was literally.
Did you look at the pedometer?
Depending on the day, it was between 10 to 20 miles a day. It kind of usually around like 14 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
Some days are a little higher. Some days are a little lower, depending on what we did.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Foot walking. So, yeah. So you were out quick. And yeah, you're right. When you're out, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to... I was surprised you, because you brought it up in the morning. Anyway, if you missed the show the other day, we were in Savannah, Georgia. And
For one night.
And it really wasn't a spooky hotel. It was, I don't know, maybe a 10, 20-year-old hotel. And it was not, you know, your creepy bed and breakfast. It was a chain, big hotel, hundreds of rooms. Not, you know, it wasn't creepy.
Not even in the old part of town.
No, I mean, it. You could have plopped this hotel in any major city and you would have been like, oh, it's that type of hotel. And it was for this type of hotel, I guess I would have thought that the rooms or the walls would have been thicker. And that's what I thought it was. But in the middle of the night, about 3 a.m., I heard what sounded, I said to you, I thought I heard like sexual noises,
uh-huh.
like someone moaning. Mm-hmm. At first I heard someone speak. I couldn't tell what it was. You told me you thought you said you heard someone say hello.
I thought it said hey.
Or hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I heard it sounded like a moan, but it was really clear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, it sounded like it was in the room.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't you, and I know it wasn't our children.
And you know, Harper sleep talks, but yeah, this was a woman's voice.
Yeah, it was certainly not the children's voice. And I'm like, what the hell? And I thought, well, my God, like, these walls must be crazy thin. But the thing is, we'd been in that room. We spent a good couple hours before we went to bed just sitting in that room. And there were other people. I didn't hear anything.
No.
I did not hear the next room next door. I didn't hear anybody in the hallway. So it did appear to be, for the most part, and in the morning, too, people getting up and going, I didn't hear other rooms. It was just that one moment in the middle of the night that I heard this moan and that hey or whatever it was. And I don't know.
And I didn't get any weird vibes in that room.
I didn't either.
So I just assumed it was somebody in the hall coming back, you know, drunk in the middle of the night.
I could see that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just kind of, you know, I just told myself that's all it was. I really wasn't thinking too paranormal at that moment other than just how clear it was. It didn't have that muffled sound to it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe it's just some asshole outside of the door, like literally walking back to their room and, you know, going like right by someone's door and making the noises as they're going to bed, thinking they're being funny.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's all it was. I didn't get any vibes. It did not feel like a creepy hotel or a haunted hotel or anything of that nature.
No. And you know, we'd be the first to jump all over it and say it was if we really thought it was.
It's one of those incidents where it could really go either way, where you could say, you know, I'm not going to add that to my paranormal lexicon when somebody in an interview asks me, what are your haunted experiences?
No,
it's not going to go in there. I have some that do. This one, not so much, because there are logical explanations for it.
Yeah.
It's just, it was the weird part was just how clear it was.
And I think had this happened in any other city, we wouldn't have even thought about it.
Probably. Yeah, you're probably right. And the thing is, it was like a Saturday night or Friday night or something. Saturday night, right? I don't know. Friday night?
No, it was Saturday.
Saturday night. And the version of Savannah that we saw this time was the party town version of Savannah, which I didn't really know existed.
Right.
Last time we were there, it was really kind of quiet and subdued. And then we went out that evening with the kids and thought, oh, this was a bad idea because it was a very happening bar scene. And last time we were there, it was just kind of shops and quiet. But we were there in like February. So
yeah, last week of January.
So we went back to the hotel pretty quick. So very logically, there was a lot of drunken people showing up at their rooms at 3 in the morning. I don't know, but anyway, it was worth sharing.
It's weird.
It was. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to caller. Hi.
Hello. My name is Sam. I am from Iowa, and I'm hoping not to be interrupted by my two little ones. But we are about to move out of our current house, so I thought it would be appropriate to share a few incidences that have occurred at the house we live at. You guys have actually talked about our town, I believe, on one of your previous episodes. I live in a river town in southeast Iowa, and I believe on the episode you guys had said that the entire town was known to be haunted. I've lived here most of my life, and I've had experiences in almost every house I've lived in. But the current house I live in, with my boyfriend and our four kids. And the first incident happened when I was not here. My boyfriend did not have his son for the first time. He was spending time with his mom, and he was somewhat sad and saw a little boy peek around the corner of his bedroom. And Seth said, well, you're lonely, I'm lonely, come on in. Nothing ever came in, but that was the first incident that I know of. There have been times where in the same bedroom, my bed has shook for no apparent reason. There has been a time I was laying in there. Seth was asleep. I was laying next to him, and I heard somebody say, boo, just very matter of fact in my ear, and I shot up because I wasn't asleep quite yet. I asked him if he heard that, and he said, what? So he didn't hear it. I looked to see if maybe somebody was trying to play a trick on me, because at that time his brother lived here. There was nobody else in the house that could have said that. And so that was pretty freaky for me. The most recent, though, has been My 3-year-old son was laying upstairs in our room. You can hear my youngest screaming in the background. My 3-year-old son was getting ready for bed and just very matter-of-factly asked me, "Mommy, who is that man over there?" And pointed toward our closet across the room. Said that that man wants to know if you remember his name. Do you remember his name? And I didn't have my glasses on. I was looking over there. It was pretty dark. It's probably about 10 o'clock at night. And I called my boyfriend and said, "You need to come upstairs right now." So he came upstairs, and I asked him if he saw anything over in the closet, and he said no. And Kai, again, just kept saying, "He wants to know if you remember his name." And so we were kind of dumbfounded, but we didn't see anything. Nothing else happened, so we went to bed. And then a couple weeks later, it happened again, and this time my boyfriend was upstairs with me when my son started talking about it. And again, "Mommy, do you know who that man is? He wants to know if you remember him. Do you know his name?" And so my boyfriend at that time asked my son, "What does he look like? What kind of hair does he have?" And Kai said he had long, dark hair. And so we hope that it was my boyfriend's brother who passed away 3 years ago. He had long, dark hair, and he had lived in this house for a while. I was 8 months pregnant with my son when he passed away, and so Kai never got to meet him. But we are hoping that it was his uncle visiting him. Kai didn't feel scared, didn't seem scared, which is very matter of fact about the whole thing, that somebody was there and they wanted to know if we remembered him. So that was the most recent thing that's happened in this house. Thanks for listening.
There you go. Leave the house and just let it all out.
Yeah, I think that's got to be kind of, you know, freeing to be able to say, "We're not going to be here anymore, and here's what happened."
It's kind of like what I'm doing with our HOA right now.
Oh, my God. I overheard a little bit of that.
Today?
Yesterday. So
I did a double dose because today I was asking about some billing issues. And I said, "Oh, I thought of another one, by the way, on the shit show we were talking about yesterday." And he just laughed. And I was nice about it.
Okay.
And he laughed, too. And he's like, "I really appreciate your honesty on this because we don't get it."
No.
Or not like we don't get it like we're dumb. He's like, "We don't get the honesty. We don't get blunt opinions or observations on what the hell is going on." So,
should feel better after that.
No, not really. But I got to just express my opinion, which is always fun.
Yeah.
And people kind of look at you like a dog that's confused. Like, huh?
I know.
What do you mean? Why would we want to do anything efficiently or better? It makes sense. Huh? I'm going to go shit in the corner. That's it's kind of the look I get and the feeling I get when I express my opinion to people. It is.
Well, they have to know some of the shit they do is just as dumb as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they fired the security guards and they decided the problem with people running through the gate would be to just stockpile gates. They literally have a stockpile of these wooden gates that go up and down. It's an arm that goes up and down.
And they get broken like once or twice a week by somebody ramming.
And so they just stockpile them in the guard shack instead of having somebody there.
Yeah.
It's just like, really?
Yeah. So there's a lot of real good decision making.
Anyhow.
So anyway, well, we'll be at our new place soon. But I also asked about because the area we live in, there's several hundred homes in our neighborhood, and
it's also a tourist resort.
Yeah, and it's and there's a resort in here too. We are in Branson, Missouri, so there's that, and so they want to kind of control who's coming in and out of the resort area. But the thing is, so that's why there's security. But anytime you call the security if there's something going on that shouldn't be, the response you get is, "What do you want me to do about it?"
Yeah.
Like, literally, it's like, I don't just call it a share. You want, what'd you have for lunch? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, what do you, anyway. But that it goes beyond this. That seems to be what I get anywhere, anytime. I have this thing where it's essentially like I'm very justice minded, where I'm always looking for if I see something that's not right or could be improved upon in my world, I want to fix it.
Yeah.
I'd want someone to tell me if there's something in my world that needs improvement or should be fixed or whatnot. I'm not going to take it personally and be like, oh, you're hurting my feelings. And I, you know, it's like, no, tell me. I don't want to be that person. That's not everybody.
No.
That's not 99.9% of people.
No.
So like anytime I'm anywhere and it's like, you know, just giving you a tip, this could probably be done differently and more efficiently or better or this, but I don't ever word things, I guess, the way that they'll be. I don't think things will be absorbed, period, even if I did word it for Snowflakeville. But I feel like there's just no getting through to a lot of people anymore on improvement.
Yeah, there's not.
Or different or changing ideas or anyway.
Yeah.
That's why I lock myself in my house and tell ghost stories for a living. All I'm able to do anymore is sit in my basement and tell ghost stories because he can't interact with the real world anymore. Yep.
You're not wrong.
It's pretty true. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or at patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material and so much more. And check it out, ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.